Hi, this is Jim Paoletti, Director of Education and Clinical Consultant for Power to Practice. I'm going to take some time today and chat with you about treating mild to moderate depression. Depression in general is a complex issue with multifactorial causes, but there's a few basic principles that I follow when dealing with mild to moderate depression in patients. Starting with the very basic, I recommend to clean up the diet. It amazes me how often depression responds to what foods a patient consumes. In general, consider an anti-inflammatory diet, avoid artificial sweeteners, drink adequate water, and adequate water would be take the patient's weight in pounds, divide it in half, and that's the number of ounces they should consume daily in purified water. And also make sure they're on a good brand name, nutritional brand name, multivitamin and mineral. Concerning the actual diet, a person needs the raw materials in order to make the proper neurotransmitters. You also need the nutritional cofactors required in the production of neurotransmitters. So to address the diet, I have them replace refined sugar with organic cane sugar or xylitol whenever possible, replace refined grains with organic whole wheat grain, and replace regular refined salt with unrefined salt. I use the brand either Celtic Sea Salt or Real Salt, R-E-A-L. Also, limit the use of alcohol. Chronic alcohol consumption leads to nutritional deficiencies that lead to depleted neurotransmitters and depression. They should avoid foods that are low in tryptophan, which is the natural precursor to serotonin, which include corn, bread, pasta from unrefined grains, cereals, and complex carbohydrates. They have to keep the diet balanced. Consuming a meal high in protein and low in carbohydrates too often reduces the ratio of L-tryptophan to branched-chain amino acids, and this in turn reduces the amount of L-tryptophan that enters the brain to synthesize serotonin. However, adequate protein intake is necessary so that you have the protein to break down into the amino acids that then form the neurotransmitters. Protein is the very best source of amino acids, best food source, and protein sources from animals have the largest amount of protein. The diet of the animal is also important to the quality amount of protein. Organic fed animals, the animals not fed corn, have larger amounts and more diverse proteins, especially tryptophan. Organic eggs are also a great source, as they are their only food that contain a full complement of all the essential acids necessary for humans. Protein supplements in the form of bars or shakes can provide a quick and efficient source of good protein also. Foods that are high in tryptophan include beef, chicken, turkey, pork, venison, dairy products, eggs, nuts, and pumpkin seeds. Amino acids can also be given as supplements if the dietary changes alone are not sufficient in restoring normal neurotransmitter levels. Note that vegetarian diets are often deficient in protein, certain proteins, and vegetarians therefore need to take care to include protein that contain all these essential amino acids. So I recommend vegetarians in general work with a nutritionist always. Also avoid sodas and artificial sweeteners. More detailed information can be found in the book that I often recommend to patients called The Guide to Healthy Eating, written by Dr. David Brownstein and his nutritionist, Cheryl Scheinfeld. Poor digestion can cause inadequate protein breakdown and the lack of proper amino acids needed to manufacture the neurotransmitters, as I pointed out. The chronic use of antacid and acid-lowering medications is known to cause poor digestion due to the decrease in stomach acid. What doesn't make sense is that we grow older, we naturally produce less stomach acid. However, how many older patients are out there are put on medications to lower acid, which goes against what happens physiologically? Heartburn, reflux, poor digestion are often the result of not being able to digest the food properly, and then the food sits in the stomach causing acid pooling. Most patients would benefit better by replacing digestive enzymes, which are also lower in production as we get older. Also, hydrochloric acid can be given as betaine HCl to help with the low acid causing poor digestion. One of the supplements that I use in adrenal support products is L-theanine. So I wanted to point out that the dietary intake of theanine has been shown to reduce the synthesis of serotonin in the brain and increases degradation of serotonin. Theanine is an amino acid abundant in green tea leaves, and it can cross the blood-brain barrier. Inside the brain cortex, theanine may inhibit nerve cells from releasing serotonin and causing anti-stress effects. So Use caution in the use of supplement of theanine or consumption of too much dietary theanine in green tea in patients with depression. Let's talk about hormone imbalances. Hormone imbalances, of course, can cause or aggravate depression. Depression is one of the most common symptoms of low thyroid function. A functional analysis of thyroid function and addressing any deficiencies is one of the first steps in addressing depression, in my opinion. Fixing thyroid issues includes assessment and treatment, if necessary, of adrenal issues. Both of these issues have been previously addressed in other podcasts or webcasts. Serotonin is a dominant neurotransmitter in the brain in the sense that it is there in the highest amount, and it regulates and controls the effect of several other neurotransmitters in the brain. But only 10% of the total serotonin in the body is found in the brain, and 90% of the serotonin produced in the body is produced in the intestinal tract. Therefore, low serotonin can result from abnormal gut flora and inflammation in the GI tract. Estrogen also plays a part in serotonin production, and low estrogen has been correlated to low serotonin levels. Regular moderate exercise has been shown to increase serotonin levels. And patients who exercise regularly have been shown to have much less relapse than those taking just antidepressant drugs. Neurotransmitters can be measured in the urine. I prefer spot urine testing rather than 24-hour collection tests. I also use an alternative to direct measurement of neurotransmitters. Julia Ross, author of The Mood Cure and the book The Diet Cure, has a really good mood type self-exam that can help determine if there is serotonin or dopamine deficiency. The website where you can find that self-exam is moodcure.com. There are several natural treatment options that can be used to address mild to moderate depression. 5-hydroxytryptophan, or 5-HTP, is the metabolite of tryptophan and the direct precursor to serotonin, which is then, of course, metabolized to melatonin. I use 5-HTP for carbohydrate cravings, sleep, and depression. For depression, I start at 50 milligrams twice a day and work up to 300 milligrams daily in divided doses. Vitamin B6 is essential for the synthesis of serotonin from L-tryptophan. Levels of pyroxyl 5-phosphate, or P5P, which is the active form of vitamin B6, regulate the amount of serotonin that can be synthesized in the brain. It is important to use a daily multivitamin that contains the active form pyroxyl 5-phosphate, and you may consider adding additional P5P up to a total of maybe 50 to 100 milligrams daily for a few months. Titrate the dose upwards, as P5P can possibly cause vivid dreams, sleep issues, nausea, vomiting, stomach pain, loss of appetite, headache, and tingling at higher doses over extended time. Magnesium is something I recommend for a lot of patients for depression. I use 300 to 600 milligrams at bedtime. Be sure to use a well-absorbed form of chelated magnesium, like magnesium glycinate, bisglycinate, another amino acid chelate, or magnesium L-threonate. Absorption is best when taken on an empty stomach and not at the same time as calcium. I also make sure that the depressed patient is not deficient in vitamin D. Vitamin D levels should be at least 50 to 60 nanograms per deciliter. Two herbal extracts that are known for their brilliant yellow-orange hues, curcumin and saffron, both have been found in randomized controlled studies to be safe and effective treatments for depression. Curcumin, the primary active ingredient of the Indian spice turmeric, is best known in natural medicine circles for its anti-inflammatory effects. But researchers recently discovered how curcumin supplements can also act as an effective natural antidepressant. The study involved 60 patients with major depressive disorder who were randomly divided into three groups. One got curcumin only in the form of 500 milligrams standardized curcumin extract twice daily. Another group received the standard daily dose of 20 milligrams fluoxetine. And a third group received a combination of these two treatments. And the results of the study showed that the group receiving the curcumin only got the best response. Extracts made from the popular Middle Eastern spice of saffron have also recently been shown to be effective natural antidepressants in several small clinical trials. The Crocus stavonis plant contained crocin and saffronol, believed to be saffron's active components in natural antidepressants. One double-blind randomized controlled trial compared the effects of saffron with fluoxetine in 40 people with major depression for 8 weeks. Half the participants took a supplement containing Crocus sabbatavus, 15 milligrams morning and evening. The other half took fluoxetine, 10 milligrams morning and evening. And the depression symptoms and severity were rated using the Hamilton rating scale for depression. And again, the natural product shown to be just as effective as fluoxetine. If you want to follow the same protocols as used in these studies, try curcumin in the form of BCM95 at a dose of 500 milligrams twice a day, or try saffron in the form of a standardized extract of Crocus sativus petals at a dose of 15 milligrams twice a day. You have to take either of these natural antidepressants for at least 6 to 8 weeks before making any decisions about their effectiveness. A good reference book on the use of antidepressants in general is called The Antidepressant Factbook by Dr. Peter Bregin, B-R-E-G-I-N, and its Persons Publishers, P-E-R-S-E-N-S. There's also a very good chapter on the topic in the book, Drugs That Don't Work and Natural Remedies Do, by Dr. David Brownstein. I have patients that come to me for hormone consults, and they are already on antidepressant medications. Of course, I do a thorough evaluation of their adrenal and thyroid function and balance of sex steroids at physiological levels. But in the meantime, I usually ask them to read the chapter on antidepressant medications in Dr. Brownstein's book. I have found that the large majority of patients then ask me on follow-up to help them naturally and that they want to get off their prescription antidepressant medications. So in summary, mild to moderate depression, assess and balance hormone function, especially adrenal and thyroid function. Fix the diet. Exercise regularly. Assess the neurotransmitter status and supplement with natural agents to increase natural production of neurotransmitters. I hope this information has helped you. Thank you very much.